focus his attention on Thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for, and we are above all people most blessed. And tonight we want to focus on that, and want to talk about that. And it's not just a seasonal thing. There's a lot of the city around us that the precious things in their life is obscured from them. They have a hard time seeing sweetness and goodness in their life. And this is something that God encourages us to do every day. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. So we're going to start tonight. We're not going to read from Revelation, but we will read a verse that has something to do with the end time. I appreciate Brother Stephen filling the pulpit so ably and capably in our absence. And I bring you greetings from the hardy folks in Minot, North Dakota, who think 9 to 24 is springtime. And it takes a minute to get acclimated to that kind of weather. But they work in that and they live in that. And they've had a conference at this time of year with it being 15 below zero and blowing snow. And they just go right on and have church and have life and work jobs, because if they didn't, they wouldn't have a life. Because there's nothing between the polar ice cap and them but some fences. And it just rains cold there. But I bring you greetings also for Sister Sutton. Just lift her up in prayer. She had the second of two cataract surgeries today, and had one a couple of weeks ago, and has rebounded well from that one. And it makes a lot of difference in your night driving and just your being able to see at all. And it's a great metaphor for gradualism. Unless it's happening to you, then it's an irritating metaphor for gradualism. But it's just a function of age. And it's wonderful that they can do something about that. And she'll have a couple of days to recoup from that. But the Lord bless you. Let's read this evening from 2 Timothy chapter 3. And beginning in verse 1, I heard very good reports about the DOK Talks meeting on Saturday. And it's ironic, somebody was talking text with someone here. Somebody in Minot was talking to somebody here while that meeting was going on. So you never know how far you're going to reach with that kind of stuff. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and this is about the end time. And I want to caution you that we should live a life of thanksgiving. And it should be a constant feature in your life and in your relationships and in your prayer and in your philosophy and in your perspective. Because it is a function of will and choice to be thankful or to be sorrowful. It's a function of will, because there are people in every strata of life, every condition of life, who sit right beside one another. Ezekiel said, I sat right where they sat. And he said, I had visions, I saw visions of God. But he was sitting with those folks who hung their harps on the willows. And they said, how can we sing praise unto God in a strange land? So everything we deal with tonight is centered around choice. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, and beginning in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous, dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, all of that has to do with vanity and ego. Blasphemers, that has to do with a disconnection from God. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That's a trinity of poor characteristics that kind of go together. without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, can't be satisfied, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. If you love His Word, as you're seated tonight, let's give God praise and thanks, and let's magnify Him for His Word that is forever settled in the heavens. We thank You, mighty God, and we praise You, and we worship You. You're so good to us, oh God, and we magnify Your name. Praise God. So Paul said that in his day, the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, was already working. And Antichrist is anti the Word of God, against everything that is in the Word of God. And we could pursue this tonight, the listing of all the negatives here that are indicators of the end time dangerous day, or the Antichrist spirit in the earth, which all of these things are Antichrist in their orientation. And we could create another list alongside this one. Paul pretty much has in his letter to the Philippians. And he says, if there be any good thing, think on these. And he gives us a long list of good and positive things that one could think about. And those become antonyms for these negatives that are here. I want you to know that as the spirit of Antichrist rises up in the earth, all of these things that are listed here in his letter to Timothy will become more and more prevalent and more obvious and visible in our culture. The thing that you need to take note of is the fact that as you approach the things of God, and as life has its numbing, wearing down effect in your life, you need to always understand that living for God requires proaction. It requires energy and intent, because if you just let life come to you and you just float along the currents of life, then it will have a settling, a debilitating, and a wearing down effect in every good area of your life. And so you have to be very intentional and press against the flow of the Antichrist system in our world. Every media outlet, every entertainment outlet, everything that's not oriented specifically to God will wear you down and steal from you the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. And so I see in the midst of all of this that these individuals that are spoken of are unthankful. And unthankfulness is something I think that might be diagnosed as not only a symptom of that day, but something with a tremendous causal relationship. Because if you could turn that, just that part, just that component of this listing around, if this person who was a lover of himself or herself and covetous and a boaster and proud and blasphemous and disobedient and unholy and without natural affection, if you could turn that around and that individual could learn to be thankful, that would be a cure, and that would be the beginning of recovery for all of these other maladies, spiritual maladies and relational maladies that are listed here. Because I'm just telling you where, and these are all companions of unthankfulness. Unholiness is a companion to unthankfulness, and disobedience to God and to parents is a companion to unthankfulness, and all of those things having to do with ego, lovers of self, and covetous, and boasters, and proud, and blasphemers. Those things are all associated with and are companions of unthankfulness. Unthankfulness is a symptom of a person who has lost the capacity to see what is most important, to see what is good, to see what is true, to see what is of virtue or value, to see something that is of beauty. Unthankfulness is a symptom of a loss of vision. and a loss of understanding. And you just by nature, the only default position you have is flesh. The only default position you have is curse. When you leave God, you go back to flesh, you go back to carnality, you go back to curse. It's not like God sees you in disobedience and says, I'm going to curse him. It is simply that you were cursed by Adam and all of mankind was cursed. And so now we go back into that. The remedy for that is making your way to God. And I'll just tell you this, you enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You come to God with a thankful heart. A thankful heart will begin to be the cure for everything else that is wrong in your spiritual life. Somebody say amen. If you'll just stop in the middle of a bad day and begin to count your blessings, I'm telling you, it has a curative effect. It has a remedial effect. It has an effect of lifting up your head. Somebody say praise the Lord. So unthankfulness is a companion to all sorts of evil. And if you want to be delivered from those things, if you're just beginning your journey in God, or if you're making a comeback in the kingdom of God, or if you're languishing in carnality, or you're languishing without the joy of God, and you're not living at the level you know you need to, I can give you a place to start. And a place to start is just begin to be thankful. Just look. Now, let me tell you something. Everything about this culture has gone sideways. It doesn't know God, nor does it have an intent to live for God. And so we're not surprised at all of their behavior. But I will tell you this, a glaring example of this happened in Mexico just this week. A couple of NFL teams were playing in Mexico. I didn't watch it. I don't know what the score was. I'm not really too crazy about what happened there. But something came across the news that I did hear. And the news broadcaster related to me that a star player for one of the teams stood during the Mexican national anthem, but knelt during the American national anthem. I just want to tell you something right now. And I heard a discussion going on afterwards, and someone from the left opined that, well, maybe he stood because he gets better treatment in Mexico. Friend of mine, the only treatment he got in Mexico was because he's a man that represents big bucks. He's got a lot of money, and he didn't make it in Mexico. He made it in the good old U.S. of A. And he made it in a land of privilege. And he made it in a land of opportunity. And if he went down poor and busted and broke to Mexico, they would lock him up tomorrow. They would not. He would not be too engaged in the flag. And he was disrespecting the flag. Let me tell you something about that. I don't care about his sport. The point here, and this is not a political discussion tonight. This is a discussion that entreats men and women to use the wonderful mind that God has given you. I want you to consider the logics of that. If you would take a tour with me in Arlington National Cemetery and look at the ages of the young men that have lost their lives in defense of this country so that we might have the liberty to gather here and worship God and go and come freely and raise our babies and have a job or leave a job or start a business or do whatever almost you want to do. It's a land of great opportunity. And people died for that cause. And I'll just tell you, it's an obscenity for someone to burn that flag or to kneel while that flag is being celebrated. It is an obscene thing. But the logic of it is just, it fills me with incredulity because the logic of it is so absolutely skewed because the man would not have a chance and he wouldn't have a dime and he wouldn't have a dollar and he wouldn't have an opportunity if he didn't live in the land that was represented by that flag. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, you ought to be glad that you live here. And that may not be a spiritual value, but I think it lends itself to a spiritual value of allegiance. And that's another conversation, perhaps for another day. But I would suggest to that young man that he might consider being thankful. If he would walk with me among the tombstones at Normandy, and all of those young brave Americans that stormed those beaches on that day in 1944, if he could walk in those tombstones and still say, I'm going to take a knee when the flag flies that celebrates those lives, I want to tell you, he's not thinking about those lives that were lost. And I'll just tell you something else. An idiot that is prime in the news now on a regular basis because he started all this stuff of kneeling when the flag was unfurled and the song was sung, and he wore socks that depicted policemen as pigs. And just this past week, somebody walked up to a rookie policeman in Philadelphia and killed him. And I'll guarantee you, it's associated. The idea, the mentality, the action itself is associated. I'm glad that we've got a precinct of police right down here in Roebuck. I am glad. And they can come on this property anytime they want. When we get a coffee shop going, I'm going to give them free coffee or free donuts or anything else we can do for them. I appreciate them standing out on the edge of what we do in our lives and trying to keep us safe. That is an elementary idea. And the only person that would call them a pig is somebody that hadn't needed them in the middle of the night. But I'll tell you what, when they come for you in the middle of the night, you're not going to call the NFL, and you're not going to call the media, and you're not going to call the banker. You're going to call a police precinct, and you're going to say, please come and save me from what just came in my front door. I'm glad that we've got people that are willing to protect us and create for us a society where we can raise up our babies in some sort of peace. I'm just telling you what I'm thankful for, and I'm pointing out the fact that people are losing a thankful heart. And if you're not thankful for things like that, that's low-hanging fruit. You should be able to see that. Well, praise God. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Everybody say, in everything give thanks. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, in everything give thanks. That just tells me that wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, whatever's going on, I have something to be thankful for. There's always something. Now listen, you'll hear it on the job. You may hear it in your home. You may hear it in your head. But you need to take a hold of that, and you need to be very proactive about this. And you need to find something in every situation to be thankful for, because it is the inoculation. It is a firewall. It is insulation against the encroaching spirit of Antichrist in this world. Amen. Be thankful. Learn to be thankful. Somebody, give God some thanks right now. Just do that. Just give God some thanks right now. In everything, give thanks. He doesn't say for everything, give thanks. He said in everything, give thanks. So the thing that's going on with you, you might not want to praise God for it, but you might want to praise God in it. You know, you might want to thank God in it. Quench not the spirit. Don't despise prophecy. Prove all things. Hold fast the good. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That is mind, body, and spirit. If you got a thankful heart, you can get your mind on track in God. You can have your flesh in control and your spirit lined up and in alignment with God. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord. And to the Corinthians in 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. We are covered up with blessings. David said, every day my cup runs over. Every day he loads me down with benefits. We have so much to be thankful for. Can you think of some things that you're thankful for right now? I'm just telling you, I know it's simplistic, and I know that it's easy. I just want you to know it's not easy to accomplish in everyday life to maintain a thankful heart. But you can build a culture in your mind and in your spirit that radiates out into your home, that touches everybody in your family, so that you're living in culture that has a thankful heart. And that can be the dominant culture of the church family that you're a part of too. Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm thankful to be a part of the church of the living God. I'm thankful for the people of God that I attend church with. I'm thankful for all the ministries that are going on here. I'm thankful for your response in worship, and I'm thankful for young people that love God and love to worship God. And I'm thankful for Sunday school teachers that have the heart and the passion and the burden to spend mornings with these babies that are so important to us. And I'm thankful for people that minister to us in music and in song. And I'm thankful for the media team. And I'm thankful for the cookers of grits on Sunday morning. And that's just a short list. You can thank God for an hour and not make a dent. Somebody say praise God. Psalms 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That's everybody. Serve the Lord with sadness. Sadness. You know, you got to be sober and somber and look like you lost your best friend to live for God. You ought to be the happiest people in the city. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You ought to have a song in your heart. If God's delivered you and God's been good to you, you ought to have a song on your heart. You don't have to sing good. Just sing. And we won't make fun of you because you're singing to God. And shame on you if you ever make fun of anybody that sings because they don't sing with great skill. I'm just glad people are singing unto God. You ought to have a song in your heart. It is he that has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. How do we enter into the gates of the Lord? With thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. I can get where God is by thanking God. I can move in. It doesn't matter if I'm in this city or another city on the other side of the world. It doesn't matter how my circumstances are shaped at the moment. I can get into the presence of God by thanksgiving. I can begin to thank and praise God, and God inhabits that. He comes into that. That becomes a portal for me. I can drag every demon that's bothering me right into the presence of God by thanksgiving. I can bring all my trouble, all my giants, all my difficulties, my circumstance, I can drag them all into the presence of God. And I tell you, that's what you need to do with your trouble and with your problem and with all the things that are coming against you in your home and your family. You need to bring them all into the presence of God. And you can initiate that with thanksgiving. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's begin to clap our hands and give God praise and magnify him. Praise and worship and a positive confession, a faithful confession, are the natural outgrowth of a thankful heart. Praise is the natural outgrowth of a thankful heart. Speaking positive things is the natural outgrowth of a thankful heart. The writer of Proverbs teaches us that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And the scripture's so full of this. Israel won't cross over because of what they say. They die in unbelief because of what they say. The mouth speaks the abundance of the heart, and you get by speaking. It becomes prophecy in your life. You need to begin to give God credit to be able to do what he's promised he can do. And even if in your heart you don't believe it altogether, you need to say what God has said, and you need to say what God has promised. It's the beginning of your recovery. is to begin to say. What you say reveals how you see, or your vision. It reveals what you believe. It reveals the abundance of your heart, the content of your heart. You need to be saying positive things. You need to have a thankful heart. It relates and it reveals if whether or not you are in alignment with the Word of God. Whose report have you believed? Whose report? He starts Isaiah 53 with who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord is the manifestation of God for deliverance and salvation to the people of God. It is revealed to those that believe the report of the Lord. And when you do, it comes out of your mouth. James tells us that our tongue is the rudder on a ship. It is the bridle in the horse's mouth. It sets the direction for my life. I want to walk into the blessings and the goodness and the promise of God. It begins with a thankful heart and a thankful confession. Everybody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Why couldn't Israel enter in at Canaan? Why couldn't they go in? Because two spies brought a positive report, but 10 brought a negative report. And they believed the negative report, and they began to sing that song. And God heard it, and God says, you can't enter in. They determined their destiny by what they said. They created the next stage and season of their life by what they uttered with their mouth. It is high time to get on board with what God has said and to be a part of what God is saying, and you need to be an advocate and a voice for heaven and not an advocate and a voice for hell. Somebody say praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, whose side are you on anyway? Praise God. If you're all negative and twisted and bitter and can't find anything to thank God for, the devil can go to the Bahamas and leave you all alone because you're doing the work all yourself. He doesn't have to expend any interest or any emphasis, any energy in you, because you're shooting yourself in the foot. And isn't it wonderful that God can, by the gift of will and by the gift of His Word, give us a system that we can invest ourselves in, our energy and our agreement in, and that we can literally walk in the promises of God simply by will and by choice. It's an amazing and a wonderful thing. How many Joshuas do we have in this church? We've got like six Joshuas. How many Calebs do we have? We got a bunch of Calebs. I could give you the names of the other 10 spies, but I don't know them. Do you know them right off the top of your head? Do you know anybody named for them? It's just like you don't know anybody named Jezebel, because folks don't name their kids Jezebel, because she's the only woman in the whole Bible that worshiped Baal and wore makeup that we know of. And that's why you don't, if you have a little girl, is that the top of your list of what you're going to name your little girl? I've got a name on my heart, and it's Jezebel, and I'm going to call it Jezzy. You wouldn't do that. You'd feel like you had cursed her. We don't know those 10 guys. We don't name our babies after those 10 guys. We don't even know what those names are. Nobody spends the time to remember their names, because they came back with a negative confession. They came back and said, it is just like God said. It's beautiful, it's powerful, but we can't do it. We can't take it. We can't have it. I want you to stand in the middle of the promise of God and say, yes, we can, because God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, but it's according to the power that works in us. God has no lack, and there is no limitation with God, but He can do all of those things according to the power that works in you. You've got to be invested in this. You've got to have some skin in this game. You've got to say yes to God. You need to have a thankful heart, and in the middle of the trouble, begin to say, I thank you, God. I praise you, mighty God. I worship you, oh God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Do you have a thankful heart? No, I'm a miserable, negative curmudgeon. Ezekiel 1, I mentioned it already. He said, I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, and the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. In the third chapter, he would say, I sat where they sat. He was with them. And we find them in the Psalms. They hang their harps on the willows. They wouldn't sing the songs of God because they just had an upset. Don't you ever drag yourself out of a negative situation and let that negative situation shape you. Don't you realize that you've got the power to shape your situation? Don't you realize that you've got the power to shape the circumstances of your life? Don't you understand why they were singing in the middle of the dungeon at midnight? Don't you know why Job came out from under the rubble and he was still praising and magnifying God? Because of all of these heroes of faith in the Word of God, they understood that the situation may be negative and it may be painful, but it doesn't control me. Rather, I can control it, because if I can get it into the presence of God, I may have a debilitating problem. I may have a sickness in my body. My finances may be in ruin. I don't know what your particular poison is, but if you can, by thankfulness, drag it into the presence of God, God can begin to lay His hand on it, and there is no lack, no limit with God. Do you believe God's got the answer for every difficult circumstance in your life? He really does. He really does. So a thankful heart is hand in glove with entering into His gates, and it's hand in glove with praise. And you tend to receive this or reject it dependent on the framing already existing in your mind. And it doesn't matter. You could be in an apostolic church for 20 or 30 years and still have a very, very negative view and perspective about people and about life. And it's like a poison or a toxin that never has been excised from your life. But one of the quickest ways to bleed that out is to learn how to be thankful and to give God praise and to magnify God. All of those things are connected together. The good thing about it is that when I begin to access the good things of God, they are connected together. And I may work on one area like a thankful heart, and other areas start opening up in my life. The reverse of that is true. When you begin to pull on the threads of the good things of God and take one out and kick one to the curb and all of that, all of those things are connected together. And when you begin to lose some of them, you can lose all of them before it's over with, because they're all connected together. There's a lot of apostolics that never would believe that they would baptize in the Trinity or be involved in something other than an apostolic church, but they got tired of holiness and they set it aside. And here now we've got these pseudo quasi used to be apostolics that lost their holiness, but now they're fellowship and Trinitarians, and now they, on their websites, you can read that they don't care how you baptize, and that they really teach that you just get salvation by easy believism and just by believing that Jesus died for your sins. That's where that goes, because all those things are connected, and that is a very negative situation. But the positive side of that is, once you begin to gain some ground, once you begin to gain possession of some of those things in that great list of wonderful blessings and promises of God, and those attributes that are associated with a close walk with God, they tend to generalize to the other good things, and you'll begin to have good things from God and from the Word of God developing and manifesting in your life. Is there a witness in the house that'll say it is exactly like that? David said, therefore I'll give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises. He said, O my Lord, I'll give thanks unto you forever. I'll give thanks in the great congregation among the people. In the 75th Psalm, unto thee, O God, we do give thanks. We give thanks, for thy name is near, and thy wondrous works we declare. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises to thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. We ought to be talking about him from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, and everything we say about him ought to be good. We ought to be beating the drum. That's what our calling is. That's what our mission is. We ought to be the brightest spot on every job and in every school and in every neighborhood. Everybody that knows you ought to look up and say, these people are the happiest people, the most thankful people, the kindest people I've ever met in my life. They don't have anything negative to say about anything. They're too busy praising and giving thanks to their God. Somebody ought to say amen. You were called to be the light of the world. You were called to be the salt of this world. You were called to let people know what heaven is like. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let's make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. This is indicative of a mental culture. If you have it, it's a culture in your mind and spirit. If you don't have it, it's the culture that you've developed in your mind and your spirit. Actions become habits, and things habituated become cultural norms or mores and values. And that becomes your culture, and that becomes your destiny. That becomes your life. And so if you have it, persist in it and grow it. If you don't have it, begin to be that, begin to do that, because as you do those things, you'll be those things. If you want to be a marathon runner, get out tomorrow morning and start running, and don't eat another donut, but start. Oh, this is bad during Thanksgiving week. But you have to start doing what a marathon runner does if you're going to be a marathon runner. You can't be that without doing that. And you got to do it. And if you're doing it and you quit doing it, you got to start all over again. And so are the things of God. If you want to be these good things that the Word of God talks about, if you want to be a praiser and a believer and someone with a thankful heart, and you want all of the good things that accrue to that great, positive, faithful attitude of thanks, then you have to begin to do those things intentionally and purposefully and by will in situations, because you can. As surprising as it is, you don't have to say everything that comes to your mind. I know that comes as a shock, but there's a space there between stimulus and response, and you can stop and say, that's not pleasing to God. And you can break the old cycle. You can break the cycle of the habit. The habit is a stimulus, a response, and an outcome. And if you keep doing that, you're going to keep getting that. And you got to break that somewhere. And you break it at the point of stimulus by will and by purpose and by choice and by forethought. That just happened to me, and I don't want that to ever happen again. And so now when it happens, when it's presented, when it comes, when I feel that, I'm going to stop for a minute. I'm going to say something else. And you plan what you're going to say. And you prepare for what you're going to say. And then you do that. And then you do that again and reinforce that. And again, and before long, it's habituated. And before long, you've broken the cycle of that habit. That particular habit now becomes something different. You can do that by will and by choice. You can become a radiant, thankful blessing to everybody around. You really can. You don't need to be like, what's the mule's name? Eeyore. I missed that for some reason. But I met him. I met him in a lot of places. Oh, sad sack, hung down. Now, this is really bad, because in my relaxed state, and the older I get, the worse it gets. My face just sags, and especially if I'm tired. It just looks like an old hound dog after a while. You check me out in 10 more years, and it's just going to be practically down on my shoe tops. And it's only way I can get it up is to smile. I can raise it up. So you might just find me smiling all the time just to kind of keep it up. And there's other problems with that. But at any rate, we don't need to be a negative wind that moves into every environment that we walk into. We need to be pleasing and engaging and encouraging and thankful. Somebody say praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and give him a great big smile. That's right. Some of you look psychotic, but just work on it, work on it, work on it. It's a culture. It's a culture of mind and thought. It's a culture of celebration. It's a culture of thanks and thanksgiving. That's the culture the church should have. That's the culture your family should have. That should be your personal culture. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We do on a regular basis talk about strongholds in our mind. And Paul's teaching concerning strongholds are about knowledge and thoughts and imagination. But thankfulness becomes a stronghold. You can build that. You can develop that. You can acquire that. You can build up the positive in your knowledge base. It affects your thought life, and your imaginations are affected by it. That's one of my favorite passages in the entire Word of God, is that passage out of Nehemiah, where they're building Ezra and Nehemiah are building the wall and the temple, and the reading of the word goes forth, and the people are saddened by it, and they begin to weep, and he chastens them, and he instructs them not to weep neither mourn, because the day is holy unto the Lord. And he says, I want you to eat the fat and drink the sweet, well, and save a portion for those that have none. And that becomes a template for revival. That becomes a template for a positive mindset, a positive, thankful culture in a family and in a church family. Because first you have to find the fat. You have to find the sweet. You have to find the good. There's good to be had anywhere you are and in any situation that you're in. Somebody ought to say amen right now. There is good to be seen. There is good to be had. There is good in the kingdom of God. All you have to do is lift up your head and look for it. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. He's not talking to a city. He's talking to people. And he's saying, if you'll lift up your heads, there is a theology of lifting up the head throughout the Word of God. And if you'll do that, the King of Glory will come in. Somebody say, praise the Lord. David encouraged himself. You have to lift up your head. You have to encourage yourself. You need to find some sweet. You need to find some fat. He's not teaching about something to eat. He's talking about something in life that is good. You need to look around you and find what is good. And if you're sinking, use it as a life preserver. Use it as something you can cling to until you find something else that is good. And begin to build that in your life. Habituate that. Make it normative. Make it culture. Create the culture in your house. Create the culture in your family and in the house of God. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Praise God. Praise God. Paul says to the Philippians, these things which you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. If you lack a thankful heart, do thanks. Do thanks. Be thankful to everybody around you for everything that they do. And when you're by yourself, just find yourself a litany of things to be thankful to God for. Your prayer should start with a season of thanksgiving. Your prayer, because you enter into his gates with thanksgiving, your prayer should be a litany of all the good things in your life. If you are a married man, you should spend quite a bit of time thanking God for the wonderful treasure, the great gift that God has given you in your life. It makes it real in you. It is pleasing to God, but it conditions you in mind and in spirit. And you need to do that. If you're a lady, you're a married lady, you need to thank God every day for your husband and begin to praise him and magnify God for the gift that God's given you. And you might say, well, my wife or my husband, they're not living for God and they're not a good person and all of that. Well, when God showed up in the story of Gideon. He gave Gideon the credit of being what God had called him to be when he first met him. So maybe if you would start working that idea that your wife is a wonderful person and thanking God for that, you'd be closer to her becoming a wonderful person. And if you begin to give thanks for the goodness of your husband, maybe your husband would begin to walk in some goodness. I just believe these things are connected. Somebody's got to open it. Listen, if a valley of dry bones can come together, people's lives can be changed. If the Spirit of God can blow on that valley of dry bones and living men and women stand up there, your word of prophecy can affect people in your house. Somebody say praise the Lord. But you've got to begin by being thankful for what God has said and what God has promised. Clap your hands. Lift your voice. Magnify God. Somebody bring me some music. I'm thankful for Samuel. I'm thankful for a piano. Thankful we're not just beating on a number two wash tub. I mean, you can have church like that, but it gets monotonous. Go, doom, 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 doom. They built a little church there in North Little Rock with a bass drum. I mean, they got other stuff going on now, but they have enshrined that bass drum on their platform because that old man that started that work, he terrorized the whole apostolic movement. He'd go to fellowship meetings, doom, 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 doom. And you know, it kind of gives them pause because they don't know what to do with you. Do you throw the guy with the drum out? Are you thankful for the name of Jesus and the good word of God? Are you thankful for this wonderful Holy Ghost that God has given you? Are you thankful for the church and for the privilege to be a part of the church of the living God? I'm so thankful for God's people. I'm thankful that the median age in this church is about 23. I'm thankful to be one of the oldest people in the house. I'm thankful that life is just screaming by and that kids and young people and young adults are living for God at a good and a high and a healthy level. I am thankful for that. Praise God. I'm not trying to cling to the past, nor am I trying to cling to this life. You really got to get on board with what God is doing to have a thankful heart and to stay thankful. Because if you're aging and you don't like it, you got to get on board. This is God's plan. This is God's plan. I'm going to wear this body out. I'm going to burn it out, and God's going to give me another one. That's all right. That's all right. But I want to live forever here. You're not going to live forever here. Get away from that. That's an alternative to the Word of God. That'll cause you not to be thankful. It's tough. It's tough when you're getting old and everything's falling apart. But I tell you, these babies, these children, these young adults, they need to see elders that say, I may not be able to run like I used to run, but I want to be giving thanks to God. I want to be giving praise to God. We have folks in this church that live in difficult circumstances, perhaps broken homes and families, maybe medical conditions in their lives or in their bodies. But I'm just telling you, wherever you're living, whatever your zip code in life, you need to know that thankfulness and thanksgiving makes every circumstance better. Is there a witness here? It makes, and it's a willful choice. Let's stand together. It's a choice. It's a choice. Do thanks. Right now, why don't we do some thanks? Just begin going down your list of all the things you're thankful for. Don't be worried about anybody by you. I mean, you really ought to begin to give God thanks. If I'm looking at you right now, I'm thinking that you're not very thankful. You're just kind of casually thankful. Hallelujah, yes, 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 yes. Come on, everybody in the house, let's give God thanks. I want to give you thanks. I want to bless your name. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We give you praise. Go ahead and sing. praise God. Why don't we gather down around the altar tonight? And I want you to bring your thanksgiving as a sacrifice unto God.
I just want to thank
bring your thanks and your praise.